Hari Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahabhyankara Vavahai Tejasvi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Page 47. Vijaya, what is the fifth limb? Saddharma Jigyasa. Inquire from the spiritual master about how to advance in devotional service. Raghunath Das Babaji. Persons who are very eager to understand and practice spiritual life may quickly attain all their spiritual desires. Eagerness means that the Vaidhi Bhakti, that the Vaidhi Bhakti devotee enthusiastically asks the Guru to explain the duties and practices of spiritual life in accordance with the directions of the previous acharyas. Right? So inquiring is how to perform the devotional activities in accordance with the previous acharyas. That's what it means by the jigyasu. Right? Other things may be, you know, personal interaction or personal this and that, but it specifically means asking how to perform the devotional activities, you know, how that functions, according to how the previous acharyas that they would do it. Right? Vijaya, what is the meaning of the sixth limb? To renounce sense gratification and material comfort for the sake of Sri Krishna. Raghunath Das Babaji. Bhoga, sense gratification, means to cater to the demands of the senses in an enjoying spirit and stands as a formidable obstacle to spiritual progress. If one renounces bhoga to advance in spiritual discipline for the attainment of Sri Krishna, it is certainly most beneficial, making the path of one's advancement smooth. This tendency towards bhoga is an addiction that constantly increases its hold upon the addict and is thus a great stumbling block to the execution of Shuddha Bhakti. Therefore, a devotee must restrict his eating to only Krishna Prasad, and to an amount just suitable for the healthy maintenance of his body, thus allowing him to practice Shuddha Bhakti enthusiastically. On spiritual festivals and Ekadasi, he must fast and give up all sense enjoyments. In this way, he must train himself to eliminate the desire for sensual pleasure. Right, so the idea we can see here is that it's the connection to Krishna that's important, right? Something not connected to Krishna, that's called sense gratification, right? If it's done in connection with Krishna, it's not sense gratification. But then it's what's appropriate for the situation, right? So example given here is eating, right? So someone's eating just to taste nice things, that's sense gratification. One is offering food, cooking nice things and offering to Krishna, then that's service, right? And then taking those remnants. So we're appreciating Krishna. He's the taste. He's all these things, right? So then that makes it very nice. Does that make sense? And then what's suitable for the particular situation, eating how much we can digest, right? Don't eat more, right? You don't want to eat less, you don't want to eat more. Does that make sense? It's not about eating less, it's about eating the right amount. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
So we see the six Goswamis are highly elevated personalities. They're practically not eating.
It works. If it works for you, great. It means they're not waking up in the middle of the night and going and checking out the refrigerator. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the point is that you have that element, but it's just, you know, what actually works. But, you know, they're not their position of their health in Krishna consciousness may not be what we would call, you know, a... In other words, they would not necessarily be on the front of some, you know, how you say, bodybuilding magazine, you could say.
No.
Yeah. So the thing is it's just what works. Health to be able to do your duty. They're just sitting there and chanting. So not eating much works.
So the principle is just doing service.
It means it's connecting whatever you're doing, the engagement of the senses, to Krishna. Mm. That's what you're trying to do. Does that make sense? That's what we try to do. So we generally take it that means the senses aren't engaged. No, it means the senses are only engaged in Krishna's service. If they're only engaged in Krishna's service, that's devotional service. If they're engaged not in Krishna's service, that's sense gratification. You know what I'm saying? Just like you have money, okay? Now, if you buy things for Krishna, that's proper use. You buy things not for Krishna, that's not a proper use. So it's not the money, right? It's not that you don't spend, right? In other words, if I don't spend on things that are useless, you know, not connected to Krishna, that's good. But the point is it's supposed to be spent for something useful. Right, so it's not that the senses aren't engaged; they're not engaged in anything useless, but they're engaged in something useful. Does that make sense? You know, so does that make sense? So eating boga is not good; eating prasad is, but not eating—that's not devotional service, right? It means here fasting—it's fasting for Krishna. But if you're fasting just to fast, then what's the benefit? You understand? Just like eating for sense gratification is what's the benefit? Does that make sense? The point is, if it's connected to Krishna, it's valuable. If it's not connected to Krishna, it's not valuable. It's that simple.
Well, we see usually that in the beginning of spiritual life, the prasadam would have a more prominent role to play, and then as we progress spiritually, it would be less and less because
we have other services. Yeah. But otherwise, then, you know, the most absorbing service, you know, where your body, mind, and words are fully engaged, you know, then is taking prasadam. Yeah, so the point is it works, you know, but after some time, then, you know, one learns to eat only how much you are required to eat, you know. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because otherwise they eat so much there, then they're laying on the ground, they're holding the stomach going, oh, Krishna, like that. So they're still chanting, right? They're remembering Krishna and chanting Krishna's name, but they're not able to do any other services. So this way then they can get a balance. They can eat, remember Krishna, and do something else, right? You know, so it's not that eating goes down, service expands. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Before it was just stomach.
Sorry?
Before it was just stomach expands.
Yes, the stomach expands. So now it's, you know, all varieties of service are expanding. Yeah. Vijaya, what is the significance of residing in the Dham, for example, Dwarka or Vrindavan, or living upon the banks of the Ganga and the Jamuna rivers, the seventh limb? Raghunath Das Babaji, the Dhams are places where the Supreme Lord appears and displays his transcendental pastimes. The territories lying on either bank of the holy rivers are spiritually enlivening. Therefore, residing in these sanctified places naturally inspires a higher level of spiritual activity and devotion. Right? So, the Lord has appeared in these places, and they're sanctifying. So one becomes purified, so that's the you know, removing the negative effect, and you have, the positive of being attracted to Krishna, right? He's performing his activities, so then you become attracted to that. So that's why it's recommended, because then one is just so much more active. Like he says it, a higher level of spiritual activity and devotion. It just naturally does it. You know, living somewhere else it might not. Right? Does that make sense? Vijaya is staying in Navadvip spiritually advantageous because it is situated on the Ganga, or for other reasons also. Raghunath Das Babaji. Ah, yes. Taking residence anywhere in the 32 square mile area of Navadvip is equivalent to staying in the holiest of lands. Sri Vrindavan. Within Navadvip, it is especially beneficial to live in Mayapur. There are 7 holy places which award liberation. Ayodhya, Mathura, Mayapur, Kashi. What's Kashchi? I'm not sure. What was the other thing? Kanchi. Okay, yeah, because somehow or another the S with a dot is supposed to be an N with a dot. Okay. Kanchi, Avanti, and Dwarka. Among these, Mayapur is the most important abode. I think Kanchi's in south. It's kind of, it's not too far from Madras, but it's where you have Vishnu Kanchi and Shiva Kanchi. So Bharadwaj is in Vishnu Kanchi, like that. So it's a main, major place. Okay, so amongst all these, then, Mayapur is the most important.
Is that because of the time?
Time?
Yeah, that it's now, I mean, it, compared to Vrindavan, that...
Oh, the thing is in Vrindavan, see that because of the Audarya, then it's like you sleep in Vrindavan, you're sleeping. Mm. You lay down here and sleep, you get the benefit of offering Dandavats.
Yeah.
Right? That's the difference. Yeah. Yeah.
Not in
Vrindavan? No. That's what's special about here. It means it's the same as Vrindavan, but because the mood's different, there's Madhurya. So then it's a matter of taking part and absorbing yourself in there. Not that you can't get that same benefit, but it means there. Here, because it's Audarya, even if you're not really conscious of it, you're still getting benefit. That's the difference, because here is compassion. Like that. Does that make sense? So there's sweetness. You take part in that sweetness, then you get the benefit. Mm. Like that. So it's always nice and purifying, but you have to be more careful of offenses. While here, it's not really counting. Yeah, that doesn't mean you are stupid, but you know, because the point is if you're not, then it goes much quicker. Okay. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended to this material world, he brought his own original abode of Swetadweep, that is Mayapur, with him. 4 centuries after Sri Chaitanya's advent, this Swetadweep will gain preeminence over all other places of pilgrimage in the world. The benefit of residing in Navadweep is that all offenses are nullified and the residence is crowned with Shuddha Bhakti. Right, so here all offenses are nullified. Like the others in Vrindavan, it's counted. Right, means if you perform devotional service avoiding offenses, you get purified so that you won't commit offenses. But it just means you have to be really conscious and really sincere and focused to get that benefit. Well, here is even if you're not so expert, it still works quite well. Does that make sense? So even see some of the acharyas, though they were living in Vrindavan, at the end of their life, they came here. Okay. So it's just, you know, yeah. The benefit of residing in Navadvip is that all offenses are nullified and the resident is crowned with Shuddha Bhakti. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati has accorded Navadvip the same spiritual status as Vrindavan, but actually has given many examples to show that Navadvip may be considered even more elevated in some respects. Right, because of this, just for developing. It means if you're on the platform of Shuddha Bhakti, then they're the same. But for developing that, then Navadvip has an advantage. Mm-hmm. Right, so there's Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati, right? So he's, you know, known for his place in Vrindavan. Right, that he's mentioned. Vijaya, how can we understand, here it says 400 years after. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. So now it's becoming more prominent.
Yeah.
I've heard that some people say that within time, Vrindavan is going to close more, and Mayapur is going to blossom more.
I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe. But the point is if devotees are there and rendering service, then well. But otherwise, I mean, if anybody's been around for some time, one can watch it close. Means before you stepped out on the parikram path and you're in this nice, pleasant, you know, fine, like dust, a Vrindavan path that you could walk around and appreciate all the niceties of Vrindavan. Now, if you're not careful, you get run over by a tractor, you know, or a rickshaw. Yeah, like that. You know, so these different things, it becomes harder to see. Like even now, Vyasadeva's place where he wrote 10th Canto Bhagavatam, right? Before it was a nice little thing sticking there, you could go. Now it sticks out of the ground about that much. So if they're not careful, you won't even know where it is. You know, I'm saying just slowly, all these things. You know. But that's just the trick. Means we're saying that, but then devotees that were there before, then they've seen so much also. It means some of the older devotees have said that when they were young, you could walk from Vrindavan to Nandagram under trees the whole way.
Wow.
Says it was just forest. But now somehow the farmers have, you know, cut down the trees and, you know, use it to farmland. You know, like that. So,
like that.
You know, so the point is it's just always like this. Mm-hmm. But then, if that, you know, that lifestyle of preaching is there, then it comes uncovered. Otherwise, when Lord Chaitanya went there, nothing was there. Mm-hmm. No one knew Radha Kund, anything. Yeah. The Goswamis went there. You didn't. It was just, you know, some local area, but they uncovered it. So it's just a matter of the devotees are performing activities, it becomes uncovered. And if they're not, then it becomes covered.
So paradoxically, the activities of the devotees are attracting so many non-devotees. Building apartments.
Yeah, no, it kind of happens. But you'll have to see with time how it works out. Because, I mean, people go to Varanasi and think it's great.
Yeah.
But the point, have you been to Varanasi?
No.
Okay, well, it's like, let's say if that pillar is one line of solid, you know, houses, means this far away is the next line.
Yeah, okay.
So when you go into those residential, there are no trees, there's no nothing, it's just there and straight up, like that. But because it's done in a particular vernacular, then, you know, that older style, it still has that. Well, nowadays it's done in that kind of quasi, how you say, prefab Russian and artistically so-called inspired, you know, Indian architect. You combine that and that's what you see in India. You know?
Boxes.
Yeah, but it's a particular kind of boxes. It's these Russian boxes. I was so surprised. I was thinking, here, you know, they got this crazy architecture here, right? And stuff. And then when we went to the East Block and over there, it's exactly the same thing. And I was thinking, wow, so this is where it's from. You know? Like that. So they somehow or another picked up the Russian architecture. Like that. No? Yeah, it means more the East Block.
Unless only some basics.
Only some basics, yeah. I mean, they haven't gotten the solid cement blocks that you just stick on the walls and that. I mean, they do have some more. If you think this is bad, there's some stuff that's really worse, you know. Like that. Okay, so. Vijaya, how can we understand the eighth limb engaging in occupational duties just to maintain body and soul together, accepting just what is necessary? Because the occupational duty is to maintain the lifestyle. So it's the lifestyle, it's just what is just necessary. Raghunath Das Babaji. The Naradiya Purana states, a person who understands the real goal of human life will accept material possessions proportionate to his needs. Any more or less material wealth would divert him from his ultimate destination. Notice here it says more or less. So in other words, there's a certain amount that you require as a lifestyle that you can stay focused on Krishna. Right? If you go more than that, you get distracted, because then that greed and that desire to maintain all that, because along with it comes all the different social and security issues and trust issues and all those different things come if you have more. Right? But if you have less, also you're uncomfortable, and so then you're always thinking about your lack of comfort, and so then that will also detract from your devotional service. Right? So you have to find a balance. You know? So it takes some maturity to do that, because otherwise, always, oh, it is, yes, we're on the less side, we just need that a little more. Right? Yes?
What makes some people need more and some people need less?
That's just conditioning.
Like karma?
It's just previous karma, whatever they've worked at, you know. So then, you know, because it may be more or less based on certain kinds of facilities of comfort, or it may be facilities of cleanliness, or facilities of space, because they're all there. It means the, when there's ether, I forget what it, oh, it's the other day, it was something in Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada's talking about it. See, there's this thing, space, you know, so that gives, I can't remember what it does. We'll have to try to find that. But it's one thing that we don't consider, but when there's space, then it does something. There's some aspect that gives some, it's an opulence. It gives some upliftment in that. So probably talking like verandas. They're opulence. Right? Because, see, is by this here, you feel that this is complete. But if we need, those verandas are there for going bigger. But it doesn't feel, if those pillars weren't there, it would feel too big. But by the pillars there, then it doesn't feel too big. You understand? So you have these elements. Then a veranda is there. You can go out. If you can sit there. You can sleep there. You can eat there. You can do all kinds of things there, because it's just empty. It's multi-purpose. But you know, a room has a specific use. You know, so outside the lawns, the gardens, the space, it's an opulence. So for some, it's that. But nowadays, that costs a lot of money. You know, especially if you know the ground that your tree is growing out of is, you know, sold by the, you know, square meter, or you know, square centimeter or something. You know, then it's does that make sense? So for you, it's just you need the space. So it costs money. So others need the cleanliness or something. Does that make sense? Others need a certain amount of opulence in the way of facilities. Does that make sense? So it's just whatever is required that you consider this just normal. Not because of the social, just this is what you are comfortable in. You've grown up in this. Right? Someone from a very wealthy background, for them living in a big house is no big deal, because for them that's a normal house. So for them to be in a smaller house, they would be uncomfortable. But for them to get a bigger house than that, now that would be going beyond what they require. Does that make sense? So you just have to see. Someone grew up in a real small house, right? You know, and plus, you know, the other 49 people living there. Then for them, small places are great. You know what I'm saying? If you have a big place, then it'll be a problem.
How much should devotees consider their surroundings when deciding or figuring out how opulent to live, or how simply to live?
Well, judging by most places, that if the window opens out, you have to be very careful it doesn't bump into your neighbor's window opening out. I would say space they don't worry about.
Yeah. But resources also. In general,
resources.
I mean, facilities. How much?
Means 52-inch screen, like
yeah,
that kind of resources,
yeah.
Or
like Humvee and stuff like that.
That would actually be good on the roads here.
Yeah, it would work. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, a Hummer would be better.
Okay, I don't know the difference.
The Humvee is the civilian form of the military Hummer.
Oh, okay, so the Hummer, yeah, definitely go with the Hummer, yeah.
Yeah, no, here the Hummer would be really good. Going to Calcutta, that would be,
yeah.
That would not be an over over the top. That
could be interesting with the horns also, with the hummer with that kind of horn. I would like to see that.
Maybe the 50 cal for clearing the traffic as well.
Yeah, that could do also.
You're just saluting your friends.
No, that could work. Need a rocket launcher for the buses, though. Yes. Yeah.
Are these considerations regardless of Varna or Ashram?
They're regardless. Because the point is you do have Brahmins who are from very wealthy backgrounds, but also very poor backgrounds. You have Vaishyas from very wealthy and very poor. Kshatriyas generally do fairly well. You know? And then Shudras, it's even more extreme. You know what I'm saying? You know, you have a guy that kicks around a ball, and he gets, you know, a contract of, you know, $10 million. But the kids down in the corner, you know, they live in a little shanty there, but, you know, but they can play just as good a football. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it seems like, maybe it's my misinterpretation, it seems like our emphasis was to kind of live more austerely than...
Yes, but the point is it, as a brahmacharya, it has the thing, because brahmacharyas are just austere. But here, this is being... But even within the brahmacharya, he doesn't keep less than he needs. It means, like, let's say, he doesn't throw away his sleeping bag if he actually needs it because it's cold. You know what I'm saying? And at the same time, he doesn't eat... Okay, get this right. He doesn't eat two buckets of halava when he only requires one. Was
only
that correct?
On festivals.
Only on festivals. Oh, and then he eats two. Okay, yeah. Yeah, daily one.
Yeah, daily one, yeah.
Yeah, festivals, but that's because you're eating normally, so you eat one bucket. But on the fast day, you fasted all day, so you're more hungry, so you eat two.
Do you look at it as, Krishna, you don't endeavor more than what's easily coming, but you realize you need a certain amount of facility, but you're depending on Krishna, you endeavor to an ordinary or an honest level of endeavor, but not over endeavor.
Yes, I mean, it probably mentions 8 hours a day. So what you get in 8 hours, be happy with that. Right? Because if you're not happy with that, you'll never be happy even if you have 10 times that. So point is satisfaction. You have it. Doesn't matter how much you have, you'll be comfortable. And if you're not satisfied, doesn't matter how much you'll have, you'll be uncomfortable. Like that. So it's just what is... In other words, you have a natural kind of status. So as a grihastha, you live at that. As a brahmachari, everybody is simple. But whatever you require within that, you maintain. Right? But a grihastha, he'll have more. Right? Vanaprastha will have in between. Does that make sense? Right, because, you know, you don't have to maintain whatever it is for social things and kids and this and that. You can reduce it right down. But it won't be necessarily as less as like what the brahmachari has. You know? So it's just a matter of understanding what is, you know, the nature, what is the situation, then according to that. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that means it's individual. Different people will have different amounts, and it works for them. So if we can accommodate that, it works very nicely. If we can't accommodate that, then it's more of a trouble. But the general principle is, it says, to keep body and soul together. So what that means, it's going to be different for each individual. So if you don't know, make it less. Right? And then you'll figure it out. You know what I'm saying? Means you're observant, you can see how much of your stuff you actually use. What you use regularly, you require. What you don't require. Does that make sense? So, by being observant, then you can figure out after some time certain things you don't require. So then that can be gotten rid of. You know, and things that you always need, even if you don't have them, then that should be strived for. Because then you're regularly using it. You know, and then all that's within what you can actually, whatever it is by your occupation, you're able to generate. Does that make sense? That's the point.
And is there any like karmic? Like, I've always seen the struggle trying to, you know, have money to maintain what I think I need, and I've been living in a van for the last 5 years, and it's not very respectable.
But is it a nice van? See, it means if you're supposed to live in a van, then you get yourself a good van. Does that make sense? I mean, people do live in vans, you know, like that. But, you know, sometimes they're very well outfitted. Sometimes even buses, you know, buses are more of a... Maybe you should move up to a bus. You don't have the karma for a house, but maybe you have a karma for a bus. You know? Yeah. That makes sense? Get one of those Greyhounds, convert that. Yes?
Where does what you're saying fit into simple living and high thinking?
It means the high thinking is you're thinking about Krishna. Simple is just means what's needed for, you know, life to work. You try to avoid it making it complicated.
I thought it was about the one cow and sati garden.
That's there. That's ideal. If you can live like that, then that's great. But the point is we're talking about from wherever you are living now.
Yeah, say that again.
We're talking about from where you're living now, because the point is if cows were great, you wouldn't be living in the city. You know, because we do have farms, but most people don't. Means even those who do live on the farms don't deal with the cows, right? Does that make sense? It means you have the lake there, right? And then you have the temple, and you have that road. Most people drive on that road, go up to the temple, and drive back or drive out the front gate, right? Nobody stops and goes to the left where the cows are. Probably most of the devotees on the farm have never been in there, and all the ones that come and visit there have never been in there. The cows have been in there, yes, they're in there. But other than that, then no. Right? Means you had Luguti before took care, and then you had those five ladies that they were taking care of, and I'm not sure who's taking care now. So that means over the last, you know, and I think Gopinath was taking care. So that means over the last, you know, 20 years, you know, you've had 7 people, you know, mainly that was all they did. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, and if you take the whole Murba area, there's more than 7. So what I'm saying is that if you can relate to that, that's nice, that's simple, that's great. If you can do that, that's ideal. But if not, you can, whatever situation you're in, the idea is keep it as simple as possible. In other words, don't have things that you don't use. Right? Otherwise, everybody has a ton of stuff that could be used, but is never used. So the idea is if you don't have all that, it's less to maintain. That takes up space, it takes up time, energy, all these things. So whatever is actually required to live a comfortable lifestyle, that's all that should be there. Comfortable means it's not uncomfortable. Comfortable doesn't mean it's luxurious, just means it's not uncomfortable. So that's what it means. If you're used to more facility than uncomfortable, not uncomfortable is more facilities than someone else. Right? So for someone else, that may be very luxurious, but for that person, that's just normal. Does that make sense? But there's not very many people that are from that kind of position. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like that. Right, so that's what it said. Okay. Here. A person who understands the real goal of human life, right, means that he knows what his purpose is. So that's his focus. Will accept material possessions proportionate to his needs. Any more or any less material wealth will divert him from his ultimate destination. Right? If it's more, he'll get distracted thinking about it. If it's less, he'll be distracted thinking about it. The idea is how much you have that you stop thinking about it. You know what I'm saying? That's the idea. You have to be observant and see. So each individual, it will be different. Mm-hmm. Like that. That makes sense.
All right. Mm. When you, in your householder, you're always, not worried, but you're always engaged in maintenance.
Yes.
So
that's the mode of goodness part.
Yeah. So you always think about that. Not overthinking, but you always keep it on the back of your mind.
Yes.
So how can you reach that except for Vanaprastha? To not think about it.
Vanaprastha is good.
After 50, you have a gift.
There's a choice.
Still.
One can start Vanaprastha at 20 if you want.
If you feel comfortable.
Yeah, but if you don't feel comfortable, but the point is the cow gives milk and it kicks. They go together. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that the grihastha life offers more facility, but it also offers more anxiety.
So this idea of not thinking about your facilities, it actually does not exist in reality.
Means not thinking means not more than is required. Means you think about how much is required to actually get it done. But if you think more than that, then you're thinking too much about your facilities. But if you don't think enough, then it degrades. But the point is it's actually Krishna's facilities. So why aren't you maintaining it? Otherwise, if you can't maintain something of that nature, you should have something smaller. Does that make sense? So if you're comfortable with that amount and that fits in and you're able to be Krishna conscious and all that, in other words, you sit down for a kirtan, you can think about the holy name. But if you're thinking about, you know, the bills and this and all the maintenance, then that's too much. Right? Does that make sense? Is that okay? Yeah. So that's what I was saying. Each individual will be different. Like that. Brahmacharis is pretty straightforward. You know, but others. You know, basically, brahmacharis, if you can't pick it up and put it in a bag and walk off with it yourself, it's too much.
Right.
But the point is, you have to be able to carry it yourself. So you can get as big a bag as you want, as long as you can carry it.
In one trip?
Yeah, that's an even better idea. Right? Yeah. Yeah. 500 small bags. I just put it in my pocket. Yeah,
then like you're a brahmacharin.
Huh?
That's a brahmacharin.
Brahmacharin. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay, so brahmachari is what you can put in one bag and carry it one time. Brahmacharin is what fits into 500, and you carry it 500 times. You know what I'm saying? Because if you put too much in the bag, it strains the straps on your Gucci bag, so you don't want to put too much. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. Now, if it's a Louis Vuitton, then 1,000 times?
Like that. Stronger?
Oh, you can get a bigger one. Well, then you have a whole array of them. Okay.
I think this.
Then you're not a brahmacharini anymore. That's true. Brahmacharini wouldn't have a Louis Vuitton.
I think this is overthinking it.
This is overthinking it.
This might be overthinking
it like that. Yeah.
Can you get a rickshaw?
I mean, the point is you can, but the point is the less you have, the less anxiety. The point is if you can't just put it in the bag and walk off with it, it's a bit too much. You know. That's ideal.
Yeah.
Means if you have stuff for your service, that may be, but you personally, you only require that much. You know what I'm saying? Because as a service, you may have a desk and an office, computer, this, that, so many things. But you personally don't require all that. Right? If you require that, then that's called a den. And that's one room in your house. And only big houses have dens.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't have one.
Okay. Is that... No, it means it is overthinking, but you missed the point. On this half of the room, it's not overthinking. On this half of the room, it is.
So you weren't asking me.
No, that was we had gone beyond your level of appreciation. If that made something to you, meant something to you, that it wasn't overthinking, then you're wearing the wrong color.
Yeah.
So since it was overthinking, you're wearing the right color.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Yes, it works. Just squeak by. Yeah. So it's just you and your bucket, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the advantage. Then you can put all your stuff in the bucket. Yeah. There you go. Take out the stuff out, put it in the holova. You know, like that. So it works. It works. You know, life is simple. Yeah, wash the bucket. That's the thing. You take that, take your bath with the bucket. You know, like that. You do the whole thing.
All right.
Yes.
Just want to thank. There was one branch out in Brazil. He was disciple by another one. He is. In Brazil, in Portuguese, the word caixa means box.
Box.
And he had a gigantic box where he kept everything, from maha prasada to shoes, everything was in that box.
Okay.
And in his initiation, he said, so Acharya said, so your name will be Maha Caixa. Everyone just cracked.
The great box. Great box, Prabhu. Okay. Yeah. Vijaya, how should a devotee observe Harivasara, the ninth limb? Raghunath Das Babaji, pure Ekadasi days are known as Harivasara. The impure Vidha Ekadasi days are not to be observed. When there is a Vidha Ekadasi, then the following day, known as Mahadwadasi, is to be observed. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Means if the Ekadasi is pure, the fasting's on the Ekadasi. If the Ekadasi is mixed, then the fasting's done the next day on Mahadwadasi. There's eight different considerations by the Titi, the Nakshatra, all these different things, because it has to start before a certain time. If it hasn't started, I think, it has to start an hour and a half before sunrise, like that. You know, there's some rules, and then certain nakshatras and this and that. So there's eight different rules. So then if that's not there, then the Ekadasi fasting is done on the next day, Mahadwadasi. That's what makes it a Mahadwadasi. Like Trishwarsha Mahadwadasi, because the Ekadasi starts on one day, goes to the next day, and into the third day. So it touches 3 days. So it's too long for a pure Ekadasi. So it becomes a Mahadwadasi. So the fasting is there. It's just he's just making the difference on whether it's a Shuddha Ekadasi or a Vridha. So if it's Vridha, it becomes a Mahadwadasi. Right? The process of observing Ekadasi vows is as the following. One should be celibate from the day prior to Ekadasi until the day after Ekadasi, i.e. 3 days. On Ekadasi, one should fast fully, even giving up water, also on the Ekadasi night. Also on the Ekadasi night, one should stay up to hear and chant. And the morning after Ekadasi, one should break one's fast during the specified time period. Ekadasi fasting means that one should not take even Mahaprasad. If someone is sick, there is anukalpa as a concession. In other words, one frugal and light meal may be taken according to the prescribed method described in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, in the passage starting at 9:27. Naktam havishyanam. After sunset, fruits, vegetables, milk, nuts, etc. can be eaten in exiguous. We don't have our antardwipas.
I think something's happening. Can I see one? Exiguous.
Oh.
Through context, I understand what it means, but I've never heard the word.
Yeah, no. I just want to know how to say it.
Exiguous.
Very small.
Very small. Can be eaten in very small quantity, but not grains. Right? You know, I guess I was thinking that because, you know, I could leave it up to the imagination.
Yeah.
Okay.
That
I don't know. It doesn't say there. That's what I was wondering, because it's one of those exiguous or exiguous. I mean, so whether you say the G or not. Or problem is, it's the English, because its words are from Latin, Italian, French, German. You know, and anything else that happened to walk by at the time. Danish. Half of England was Danes. Yeah. And that's why they called them the Angles and the Saxons, right? That's really... That means that the English means basically the half Danish.
Denmark was huge at the time. But it's like the last, I don't know, 20, 30 wars they fought, every time it's gotten smaller. So, yeah, there's hardly anything left.
Okay.
Danes have always done the right thing when everything else has failed. That's kind of an internal joke in the country.
Danes have always?
Done the right thing when everything else has failed.
It means like drinking mead or something.
What is mead?
Mead? Yeah. Danes are famous for mead. And
oh,
he doesn't
the,
know
oh,
what
that's
mead
the,
is.
The beer thing?
Honey.
No, honey, okay. Honey wine.
Okay, yeah, they drink a lot. That's all I know.
Like, you're not sure what, but
yeah, they don't. I don't think they care so much.
As long as it has bubbles in it, that's fine. Yeah, okay.
Bubbles are not needed.
Okay, so yeah, so then the language, it has all these things, but because they're not original words, then they might be pronounced, spelled and pronounced according to the language, or they might be spelled according to the language, but they've dropped the pronunciation. So that's why English is so irregular as a language. Any other language on the planet, how it's spelled is how you say it. You know, there's rules, but in English, that doesn't really apply. There are technical things that you can figure it out.
Actually, Danish is kind of similar to English also in that way.
Okay.
A lot of mute letters. And
no, it's one thing, as long as it's a rule, it's always like
that.
No,
it's not. It's
here it's like this. You can't tell. Okay. So in other words, then we can see is that that's the full Akkadasi program. But then the problem is if that people who have been doing this since they're very small, it's very easy. Like that, I know one devotee, he would fast fully on Akkadasi, do his services, everything. I think he was in the Gurukul, and I think it was 2 years before I figured out that he fasted the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because he wouldn't change how much service he was doing. You know, most other they fast, oh, I'm fasting, so they won't serve prashad, or they won't do this, or they won't do that, or, you know, so many things, but he would just do everything regular.
Mm.
But he's been doing it since he was a young, small boy, because his family, they would do, so therefore, you know, so then for us, if, you know, if we get by not eating grains on that day, then we're doing pretty good,
yeah.
Right? Like that, you know, like that.
So the principle is still the service.
The main thing is the service. The idea is to reduce the absorption in the normal thing to absorb yourself in service. So that's the idea. Okay. Right. And so if you can't, then fruits, vegetables, milk, nuts, etc., can be eaten. Right. And here it's saying, you know, traditionally after sunset. But if not, okay, then you know by 12 o'clock. If not, at least wait until the sun comes up. You know? After Mangalartik and the sun's up. You know? Now, in summer, the sun's up before Mangalartik, so then I would recommend finishing Mangalartik. Yeah.
The honorable thing to do.
Yeah, the honorable thing to do, yeah. Vijaya, why do the Dhatri, Myrobalan tree and the people tree, etc., have a special worshipful status, as in the tenth limb, Raghunath Das Babaji. The Skanda Purana states, all of one's sins are absolved if one worships, offers obeisances to, and meditates upon the sacred people, banyan, tulsi, and dhatri trees, and the cow, Brahmins, and Vaishnavas. All of one's sins are absolved. So by worshipping tulsi, right, so he says here, all these things. So worshipping Tulsi, the cows, the Brahmins, the Vaishnavas, then this is all taken care of. So then we don't have to worry so much about people and banyan trees and dhatri trees. Like that. Good. Yes?
Why is number 10 of the
hours
of devotional service to worship the banyan tree?
Because it's the essential point is Tulsi. But it says one is free, one is absolved of all sins for that. Because there are some people that aren't devotees, and so they may not be worshipping Tulsi. So then they'll worship the people tree or the banyan tree. So they get absolved from sin. It doesn't mean they get devotion. Now if you worship, do the same thing, you worship Tulsi, you're getting absolved from all sins and developing devotion. But with the, you know, the people, banyan, and dhatri, then you're only becoming absolved from sin.
Mm.
Go ahead, sir. Nectar devotion, it says this is devotional service.
Yeah, but our practice will be Tulsi. Because they're quoting the rule that's given in Shastra. Right? So it describes it in that way, but we understand Tulsi is the main element. Is that Vijaya. Kindly explain what is meant by avoiding the association of those who are materialistic or inimical to Sri Krishna and his devotees. The 11th limb. Raghunath Das, Babaji. The growth of bhava intensifies one's pure devotion to the Lord. As long as the devotee has not yet attained the stage of bhava, he has to shun the company of atheists and non-devotees. Sangha implies attachment. The various exchanges which take place in the course of one's necessary dealings with others are not sangha. Like just in the normal day-to-day dealings, whatever has to be done, that's not called sangha. You know, going to work, you know, saying hi to the boss, you know, not harassing the guy in the next cubicle. You know, all these things, that's not considered sangha. Right?
Can be.
Even if you do harass them, yeah, it's still not sangha. No,
okay.
Right?
Yeah, that's the question.
Okay. The various exchanges which take place in the course of one's necessary dealings with others are not sangha. Now the thing is, harassment's not necessary.
Mm.
Right? Unless that's your job.
Yeah.
You're the floor supervisor. Yeah. Then, of course, okay. Sangha means to be attracted and attached to the companionship of a particular person. Thus, the company of those persons who are inimical to the Supreme Lord must be avoided strictly. Right? So that's what you're saying before. When Mana describes that interaction with those who aren't following the Vedic culture, or, you know, have bad qualities, if it's necessary interaction, just normal, then that's not sangha. But if you're attracted and attached to, then it's sangha, even though it may be the same activities. Right? Yes.
There's the case I have experienced with a friend from before I became in the Association of Devotees, and I still have a lot of sentimental attachment for this guy. I've been trying to offer him some kind of Krishna conscious advice if he ever asks me for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay as long as it means that,
but I mean you're going out and jumping in your 57 Chevy with the top down and yelling and screaming and throwing beer bottles?
No.
Okay. Then don't worry about it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. You can try to give him a shot. You know, that's also, it's not a bad thing. Okay. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki,
Jai
Janitai Gaura.
Jai.